Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, January 27th, 2026. Section A. Word for 2026 oil and gas, resilient. Morningstar issues positive forecast despite prospect for volatility, by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Resiliency will describe the North American oil and gas sector in 2026, according to Morningstar DBRS 2026 oil and gas outlook. In its commentary, the company said that resiliency comes despite the prospect for oil and natural gas volatility. Given the current Brent and West Texas Intermediate prices of $66 a barrel and $61 a barrel, respectively, and a cautious outlook, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, and allied nations have paused unwinding supply cuts through March. And second, many non-OPEC producers, such as U.S. shale oil, are deferring development, which could eventually help improve the global balance between crude oil supply and supporting prices, said Andrew O'Connor, Senior Vice President for Energy and Natural Resources Ratings at Morningstar, told the Reporter Telegram. He added that further geopolitical risks, including the ongoing Ukraine-Russia war and continued threat of U.S. intervention in Iran, could lead to a meaningful disruption of oil and of oil supply, potentially causing oil prices to surge. Key highlights include the following. Crude oil prices continue to languish on worries that center on global trade barriers and forecast production growth. Geopolitical risk is providing a partial offset support. There is no change to the 2026 and 27 WTI and Western Canada Select WCS oil price forecasts of $60 per barrel and $46 per barrel, respectively. The 2026 and 27 NYMEX gas price forecast of $3.50 per 1,000 cubic feet, MCF, remains the same. Although there is no sign of an imminent economic slowdown, lingering uncertainty about global trade and the unwinding of OPEC plus supply cuts and non-OPEC plus supply growth have prolonged market angst about global crude oil oversupply, keeping pressure on oil prices, the commentary said. Primary Vision, the analytical firm, also referenced the industry's resilience in reporting the frac spread it follows had returned to year-ago levels with 160 in its most recent count. Commented O'Connor, the oil and gas industry's heightened focus on drilling and completing wells faster and less expensively is driving efficiency gains, enabling it to cost-effectively convert resources to cash flow. Despite these ongoing efficiency gains, U.S. drilling and fracking activity, and therefore the frac spread count, has trended lower on a year-over-year basis, reflecting lower oil prices. Technical advancements, including the adoption of simul-frac, simultaneously fracturing two wells, and trimul-frac, three wells, in the Permian Basin and other key producing basins, are tending to support the frac spread count. These approaches allow for faster operations, economically justifying their use and adoption. Permian Basin spared from heavy ice damage. Area has sleet and snow instead of destructive freezing rain, by Trevor Hawes, editor. Winter Storm Fern took over much of the United States this past weekend, stretching about 2,000 miles from West Texas to New England. While hundreds of thousands of people were without power, the Permian Basin lucked out. Leading up to this event, our top concern was freezing rain and ice accumulation, said Kevin Lamberson, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service office in Midland. There was a ton of moisture ahead of this front, and while there was plenty of warm air aloft on the ground, it was much colder than anticipated. This created sleet and snow instead of the more destructive freezing rain that can weigh down trees, roofs, and power lines as ice accumulates, Lamberson said. Getting sleet and snow was definitely a relief. Sleet and snowfall totaled 2.8 inches at Midland International Air and Spaceport over Friday and Saturday, Lamberson said, with northern areas like Snyder receiving up to 4 inches of snow. In terms of liquid precipitation, the average for January is 0.48 inches. We've gotten more than 0.7 inches and counting at the airport, Lamberson said. Precipitation largely stopped Sunday afternoon, but temperatures stayed below freezing, leaving plenty of ice on roads. With a thaw not expected until Tuesday, many government agencies and businesses shut down Monday. Ector County and the city of Odessa made disaster declarations on Saturday. Disaster declarations legally unlock emergency powers, speed up response, coordinate agencies, and open the door to outside assistance when normal government operations aren't enough. There will be lots of property damage when this storm is said and done, Odessa City Council member Craig Stoker told the Reporter Telegram. If you don't declare a disaster, you can't get in on the relief funds that will be available after all of this. Governor Greg Abbott issued a state of emergency for more than 130 Texas counties ahead of the storm, including Midland and Ector. Appointed to MDC Board, Boldrick outlines goals, by Luke Diaz. Hayden Boldrick, the acquisitions manager at Waterloo Resources, was recently appointed to the board of the Midland Development Corporation Board. Ahead of his induction in February, the Reporter Telegram sat down with him to discuss his background and plans with MDC. I've always kind of been looking at opportunities to get involved in the city as part of some organizations, Boldrick said. Once I saw the application come open, I thought it would be a good opportunity to just kind of put my name out there and try to do what I could. Boldrick was born and raised in Midland to a family that has been in the city for 5 generations. After receiving 2 degrees at the University of Texas at Austin, he returned to Midland in 2021 and discovered the city's rapid infrastructure growth that happened while he was away. Every time, every project that I felt was really making a difference, MDC seemed to be the main driver of that, and I just wanted to learn more about it and get involved, Boldrick said. Of particular note to Boldrick is downtown Midland, which he envisions as being a large community hub for people to hang around. While not an MDC project, Boldrick cited Centennial Park as being the driving force behind this motivation. Centennial Park really changed the landscape of downtown, and when that happened, it really opened up avenues for other projects to come in, said Boldrick. I'm a big believer in the development of downtown, and I want it to be a place where members of the community can gather on weeknights, weekends, and everything in between. I want to see that development continue, and I want to see it in a way that enhances community value. Boldrick says he is particularly excited about the 2 hotels that are planned to be built in downtown. He believes the hotels will have second or third order effects for new restaurants, small businesses, entertainment, and just all sorts of opportunities. However, Baldrick admitted that revitalizing downtown is easier said than done, especially with disincentives such as the recent parking ordinance, which he says will directly affect him since he parks on the street daily for work. He says he understands both the city's perspective of wanting to keep a steady parking flow over having cars parked for too long, as well as that of Midlanders who don't want to deal with parking meters. It does worry me that it's going to hurt people that we're trying to attract to downtown by making them have more barriers to get here, he said. So I do want to see initiatives by the city that work to get people downtown and to help families enjoy it, because Centennial Park is a public place and it's supposed to be for the whole family and community. Beyond downtown, Baldrick also said that he agrees with many of the other board members on their enthusiasm for developing the space industry in Midland, citing AST Space Mobile as a very exciting company. He says that he hopes to have the industry attract top field engineers and scientists who could not only help with the space industry, but also have their skills translate to oil and gas and other industries. Baldrick also said that he would like to help create a stronger airline base than which currently exists at Midland International Airport. He believes this could be done by adding additional airlines and increasing competition. A lot of that would be handled by the airport's jurisdiction, but I think one thing we can do is bring in JetSuite X, which is sort of a semi-private experience that bypasses a traditional security, and has been really popular in a lot of big cities and kind of connect to niche markets, touted Baldrick. There's a lot of business and social reasons to be able to get back and forth easily, and I think our airports need a more competitive airline base than we have right now. Despite emphasizing growth, Baldrick also took a moment to mention that another priority would be to continue investing in the oil and gas industry, as it is the lifeblood of the region, despite not generally being a focus of the MDC. As someone who is in the industry himself, he cited that this would help counteract the recent layoff situation. We've just gotten out of a large wave of consolidation where a lot of larger companies have come in, bought local companies, and had layoffs following, said Baldrick. It's a tough time for oil and gas right now because prices are lower. So I would like to see a local investment into our community so that local kids and young professionals have the resources to create jobs that will end up staying here. If we invest in our community and train our people, I think a lot of these jobs are going to stay here for future generations. Baldrick also addressed different criticisms of the MDC, specifically its lack of self-promotion and it being a sales tax collecting entity. Regarding marketing, while Baldrick believes in a strong social media presence, he also said that the results should be allowed to speak for themselves. At the end of the day, it can only do so much if you're not doing a good enough job, he said. I think that's what's most important, is to just choose projects wisely and execute them well. No amount of marketing can overcome bad execution. I think it'll be popular when MDC executes its job well. As for taxes, Baldrick said he would like to address by focusing on projects that will have a direct economic benefit to Midland, as opposed to quality of life projects that do not address job incentives or growth. I think that's where a lot of the frustration in the community is going to come from, when we're not using funds appropriately, he said. I think the biggest way to counter people that have issue with the existence of the MDC at all is to stay within our fiduciary responsibility to the community. Baldrick will begin his MDC term in February 2026. He will serve on the board for 3 years. Child care centers monitor new rules for funds. Texas Workforce Commission says payments unaffected, by Mella McEwen. Texas child care centers are monitoring new regulations that could impact disbursing funding for child care services for low-income families. Amid concerns about funding abuse, the Office of Child Care, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, rolled back provisions allowing states to pay providers before attendance was verified and care provided. The Administration for Children and Families notified all states Monday, January 5th, about the reinstatement of Defend the Spend, which requires that states submit additional information when requesting to draw down Child Care Development Fund funding. Sarah Fisher, spokesperson with the Texas Workforce Commission, told the Reporter Telegram. The commission manages and distributes those funds. The commission has provided the Administration for Children and Families updated justifications necessary to process funding requests for the Child Care Services Program. Neither board nor child care service providers are being asked to provide any additional documentation at this time. We continue to not anticipate any changes in CCS payments to providers, she continued. The Child Care Services Program provides financial assistance to help eligible low and moderate income families pay for child care, according to Fisher. This support is available to parents who are working, attending schools, or participating in a job training program. She said the program also assists child care programs in improving the quality of care that they provide. TWC's Child Care Information for Parents, Texas Workforce Commission webpage, includes a link for families to find information on eligibility for the Child Care Services Program. As lead agency for the Federal Child Care Fund for Texas, the Commission's Office of Investigations looks into allegations of fraud in the child care program. Fisher added that local workforce development boards also investigate allegations. TWC does not publicly discuss our fraud prevention protocols so as to not tip off fraudsters. However, if someone suspects fraud within the child care program, we do ask that it be reported to TWC, Fisher said. TWC maintains a fraud hotline which allows individuals to call and report any suspected fraud. TWC also has a portal to report fraud, waste, and abuse in the child care program. If someone has information concerning fraud in the child care program, TWC requests they submit the concern to TWC. Instructions can be found on TWC's website. Bush Family Home to Launch 1950s Movie Club, by Kesley Salinas. The Bush Family Home State Historic Site announced that a new 1950s movie club program is coming to the historic site starting January 31st. The movie club will operate on a 4-movie run, with each iteration focusing on a different topic relevant to the 1950s and the Bush family. Moviegoing was a major social event, with many people regularly attending theaters, said the Bush family home. When TV ownership went up in the 1950s, the Bush family, like many others, enjoyed watching movies at home on a regular basis. The movie club seeks to bring a new way to engage in education on the 1950s and the Bush family while remaining committed to our mission, said site educator Chase Kirby. It will be fun for those who want to join. The first theme of the club is 1950s Best Picture winners from the Oscars. The movie club will present an opportunity to hold meaningful discussions about each movie picked and topic selected. The movie club is free to join. Those interested in participating are encouraged, but not required, to email bushfamilyhome@thc.texas.gov. Members of the movie club are expected to watch each movie on their own before attending each meeting. Each meeting will begin at 1 p.m. in the Visitor Center. Meetings are held on the last Saturday of each month except March. Here is the schedule. January 31st, On the Waterfront, 1954. February 28th, Around the World in 80 Days, 1956. March 21st, Bridge on the River Kwai, 1957. April 25th, Ben-Hur, 1959. The Bush Family Home State Historic Site is located at 1412 West Ohio in Midland. Business hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, and the last tour begins at 4:15 p.m. The Bush Family Home joined the Texas Historical Commission in 2023 and is one of 41 sites in Texas. Hints from Heloise. Dear Heloise, being a short person, I have asked a lot of taller people for help with getting products off the top shelf when shopping and have never been turned down. Most of the help has come from taller men, as I am an older person with gray hair, besides being short. Don't get me wrong, there has been a lot of help that has come from women and younger people. That being said, these are the young ones who are being or have been taught to pitch in when needed. I, for one, have been very thankful. Barbara in Virginia. Finding contacts easily. Dear Heloise, in a recent column, Leo G. said that he lists a company's info in his notes. This requires that you search through your notes each time to locate the info. When a repairman completes a job for me and I wish to contact him in the future, as an example, I enter electrician rather than his name under the company subject line. Then I list his actual name and enter the phone number. Under the notes in this listing, I can add any additional info, such as the date of the last service. Often I have difficulty remembering the actual repair person's name if I enter his contact info, as I do with my other contacts, so this allows me to quickly locate him. Judy Peterson in Burney, Texas. Flowers in life. Dear Heloise, like the mom who wanted flowers while she was still alive, my neighbor's kids gave their mom a big party for her 90th birthday. There were flowers, a big cake, and gifts. Relatives came from all over the world. I was invited as her neighbor. She lived two more years after this. I read your column in the Houston Chronicle. Patricia Roberts, Bel Air, Texas. Another sock tip. Dear Heloise, when I was a parent of five youngsters, we always had issues with losing and matching socks. My daughter has kids now, and she solved the problem by having her husband only wear white socks. She only wears black socks, and her kids wear colored for her daughter or white for her son's socks. It's so much easier to sort through the clean laundry this way. Ann S. in East Liverpool, Ohio. Dryer lint hint. Dear Heloise, I see the different ways people get dryer lint off and just wanted to share how I do it. I simply use the dryer sheet from each load that I just dried. I take it and slide it down and it wipes every bit of lint off. Thanks for all that you do. Paula via email. Pumpkin trick for sick dogs. Dear Heloise, I have a hint on how to stop diarrhea in dogs. A veterinarian friend told us to use a tablespoon of canned pumpkin, not pumpkin pie filling, for our 65-pound Weimaraner female, which we mixed into her dog food. Larger dogs, of course, need more pumpkin, and smaller dogs need less. It works. John G., Kibai, Maui, Hawaii. Cleaning picture frames. Dear Heloise, I have a fancy picture frame that's carved from wood, and I have a terrible time keeping dust out of the deep areas of the frame. What can I use to clean it? Loretta V. in Marietta, Georgia. Loretta, try using a hairdryer on high to blow out the dust, or a dry, clean paintbrush to clean out the frame. Heloise. Minor League Team Seeking to Play in Astown Stadium by Luke Diaz. Midland City Council had its meeting at 10 a.m. Tuesday, January 27th at City Hall. Here's a rundown of agenda items Reporter Telegram is watching. Drainage fee increase, second reading. After granting initial approval to the controversial Title 11 ordinance, which will increase drainage fees by 145%, City Council will now hold a second reading to grant final approval. Emergency water main repair. City Council will look to contract the services of Bowler Equipment Service for emergency water main repair and replacement on Illinois and Wall. According to a report from Utilities Director Carl Crago, the water main broke 8 times in December alone, causing them to conclude that the water line was damaged to the point of being unsalvageable and that work needs to be done immediately to avoid further property damage. License plate recognition system. City Council will look to renew its subscription for the use of 73 flock safety LPR cameras installed around the city. The system captures license plates and key vehicle descriptors, e.g. plate state, vehicle make and model, color, and other identifying characteristics to help staff quickly locate vehicles of interest in cases such as police investigations, grand theft auto, and overall situational awareness. The subscription will last for the next 24 months. Airport Amendment. City Council will look to enact Amendment Number 14 of a professional services agreement dated March 23, 2021. The amendment will look to renovate the taxiways at Midland International Air and Spaceport, and the services will be carried out by Park Hill Smith & Cooper Incorporated. Tall City Black Gold. The Tall City Black Gold, a newly formed minor league football team that is seeking to play in the Continental Football League, is looking to become a tenant of Astown Broadband Stadium. City Council will look to execute a rental agreement that will allow the Black Gold to use the stadium as well as surrounding smaller fields in Scarborough Sports Complex. City Councilman John Norman will be a managing partner for the team. Specific use designation requests. Following the successful specific use designation, SUD, request by Hotshots to sell alcohol on its premises, two other businesses, Double Bar Saloon and the venue at Live Oak, will continue with their own requests. The venue at Live Oak will also be reevaluated for noise complaints that nearby residents have filed. DPS reports woman killed after SUV crashes and rolls over, by B.K. Richter. Pecos County. An elderly woman is dead following a single vehicle wreck involving a large rock. At approximately 1:40 p.m. Thursday, January 22nd, a 2016 Honda CR-V was traveling southbound on FM 1776 near mile marker 400 when the driver of the vehicle allegedly was distracted and proceeded to veer off the roadway into a burrow ditch, where she crashed into a large rock, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety. The Honda rolled several times. Abelia Payan Ortiz, 76, of Sector Poniente, Chihuahua, and who was a passenger, was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver and other passengers were transported to the hospital. Both the driver and the other two passengers of the Honda were transported to area hospitals with injuries. This crash remains under investigation, and no additional information has been released to the public at this time. Early morning crash leaves Alvin man dead, by B.K. Richter. Crane County. A man is reported dead following a two-vehicle collision. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Jaime Garcia, 49, of Alvin, was pronounced dead at the scene of the collision, which officials say occurred at 6:40 a.m. Friday, January 23rd, at the intersection of FM 1053 and FM 1233. Preliminary information in the DPS report indicated that a 1997 Toyota T100 was traveling southbound on FM 1053. Another vehicle, a 2023 Ram 1500, was traveling northbound on FM 1053 and was attempting to turn west onto FM 1233 when it collided with the Toyota at the intersection. This crash remains under investigation, and no additional information has been released to the public. Life tribute. James Lloyd Sebold. James Lloyd Sebold, 68, of Odessa, died Wednesday, January 21st, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m., January 28th, at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following in American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are made by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Dear Abby, partner paying more to support man's grandsons. Dear Abby, I have been in a relationship for 7 years. My significant other, Gabe, and I bought a home together. We are also raising three of his grandsons. I pay half of the mortgage, utilities, food, maintenance, and personal necessities. We both pay for our own insurance, car loans, and gas. Abby, there are four of them and one of me. This means utilities and food are used more by them than by me. I'm always after the boys to turn off the lights when not in use and to shut the doors after entering and leaving the house. We live in Arizona, so you can imagine electric bills during the summer, especially in a very large home. Because Gabe earns more money than I do, I have tried talking to him about the cost. I feel he should pay a higher percentage each time I give him the monthly amount that I spent. He then goes through it with a fine-tooth comb and pays only what he thinks he should pay for. We argue about it every single month. It's driving me nuts, and the upfront costs are breaking me. Please advise. Paying more than enough. Dear Paying, that Gabe earns more than you do should have been taken into consideration at the time you began living with him and his grandsons. Financial counseling might help you to determine what such an adjustment would mean in terms of dollars. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling is a reliable resource. Because these monthly financial disagreements could erode your relationship, please consider couples counseling in order to work out a plan that is fair for all parties concerned. Dear Abby, I'm having problems dealing with the death of my fiancé, who died by suicide 10 months ago. I blame myself partly for his death. While I realized I didn't buy the medicine that killed him, I did move out of the house we shared because of his attitude toward me. I can't seem to come to terms with his death. I feel responsible because I left the home we shared. I am seeing a counselor, but I'm not making the progress I was wishing I could. Do you have any advice for me and others who've gone or are going through this? Spiraling in Florida. Dear Spiraling, please accept my sympathy for the loss of your fiancé. When someone dies by suicide, survivors are often shocked and traumatized. You didn't mention if your fiancé suffered from depression, job loss, a physical ailment, or some other condition that may have caused him to act out. If he was abusive to you, you did the right thing by moving out. This is nothing to feel guilty for. I'm glad you are receiving counseling. Many survivors have been helped by talking things through with a licensed psychotherapist. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, established in 1987, lists worldwide suicide bereavement support groups as a public service to loss survivors. It can be accessed at afsp.org. Please don't wait to reach out.
Permian power grows in ranking. ExxonMobil tops Enverus onshore list in energy landscape. Enverus, the energy-dedicated software as a service and analytics platform, has released its annual list of top public onshore exploration and production companies based on gross operated production last year. It is a list influenced by Permian Basin strength and consolidation. ExxonMobil leads the ranking again at 1.95 million barrels of oil equivalent per day, MMBOE/D, followed by Expand Energy, formerly Chesapeake Energy, at 1.75 MMBOE/D, and ConocoPhillips, which climbed three positions to claim the number three spot at 1.42 MMBOE/D. Demonstrating the Permian Basin's continued strength, six of the top 10 companies list the basin as their primary operating region. Two Midland-based companies hover near the top 10. Diamondback Energy came in ninth with 973,766 BOE/D, operated 8,530 wells, and ran 14 rigs last year. Permian Resources rose a spot, reaching 12th on the list with 519,318 BOE/D from 3,405 wells and operating 13 rigs. According to Enverus, production trends this year reinforce how concentrated the U.S. energy supply landscape has become at the top. Strong Permian exposure, scale advantages, ongoing energy consolidation, and increasing rig efficiency help explain why the largest operators continue to widen the gap. Movement across the list highlights how mergers and acquisitions, regional performance, and portfolio optimization continue to influence competitive positioning. ConocoPhillips, EQT, Crescent Energy, Range Resources, Chord Energy, and CNX Resources all posted notable year-over-year climbs. New entrants include BKV Corporation, TXO Partners, Infinity Natural Resources, and Prairie Operating, reflecting ongoing shifts in the lower 48 landscape. The ranking also reveals the ability to integrate assets, adopt advanced analytics, and optimize multi-basin development strategies is becoming a defining advantage for public operators. The use of Enverus ranking extends beyond operators themselves. For example, the geology department at Stephen F. Austin State University integrates real-world subsurface data, well logs, header data, and directional data directly into its curriculum to prepare students for careers in geoscience, energy analytics, and subsurface modeling. Quote, one of the biggest challenges in teaching geology is providing students with access to real-world data and tools, end quote, said Julie Bloxham, associate professor at Stephen F. Austin State University. Quote, Enverus makes it easy for us to integrate comprehensive geological data into our curriculum, enhancing student learning and preparing them for their future careers. Enverus helps us create comprehensive models for the subsurface work that we do. It supplies not just well log data, but also header data and directional data, which are crucial for our projects, end quote, Bloxam said. Key takeaways. Top three operators, ExxonMobil, Expand Energy, formerly Chesapeake Energy, ConocoPhillips. Permian Basin dominance, six of the top 10 list the Permian as their primary region and 17 of 50. Gas weighed producers, Expand, EQT, Antero, Range, CNX, and others, anchor the eastern U.S. Rig activity. ExxonMobil, 37 rigs, ConocoPhillips, 33, Occidental, 30. Top movers, ConocoPhillips, plus 3, EQT, plus 2, Crescent, plus 3, Range, plus 3, Chord, plus 3, CNX, plus 3. New entrants, BKV Corporation, number 30, TXO Partners, number 38, Infinity Natural Resources, number 40, Prairie Operating, number 44. Orphaned wells in Texas hit 20-year high. Numbers surpassed 11,000 with more feared at risk. Texas inventory of orphaned wells has surpassed 11,000 orphaned wells, according to the Railroad Commission's latest orphaned wells report. This breaks the record set just last October and is the highest in the past 20 years. Commission shift, which highlighted the record along with the inactive rig count exceeding 120,000 wells, underscores the growing challenge facing the state's oil and gas industry. With 25 new operators coming before the commission with wells in violation of statewide Rule 15, quote, we continue to see more inactive wells queuing up to become orphans, end quote, Julie Range, policy manager with Commission Shift, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Statewide Rule 15 requires operators to meet certain requirements for inactive wells to receive well-plugging extensions to maintain their license to operate. Citing the commission's inactive well aging report database, the 25 companies on the Commission's open meeting docket for Tuesday are on their first steps toward orphaning their wells, Range said. The 25 companies cumulatively had 807 inactive wells at risk of becoming orphans, she added. Bryce Duby, Commission spokesperson, told the Reporter-Telegram, quote, while there has been a recent increase in these populations due to various external factors such as operator bankruptcies and aging wells, we are in the process of taking significant actions to increase our well-plugging efforts. Earlier this month, we opened the largest solicitation for well-plugging and related services in our agency's history with more than $350 million in federal funding and $100 million in state funding going to well-plugging projects, end quote. He defended the agency's commitment to protecting public safety and the environment by plugging these wells, using a robust prioritization system that scores wells on multiple factors, including age, location, condition, and environmental and safety concerns, to ensure that high-risk, high-priority wells are plugged first, protecting Texans from the most serious hazards. Since 1984, the state managed plugging program has plugged over 47,000 wells across Texas, Stubbe said. Commission Shift calls the orphaned wells, which lack active operators, a significant environmental concern as their deterioration poses risks such as water contamination with benzene, a carcinogen, harmful fluid leaks affecting wildlife, agriculture, and livestock, and methane emissions contributing to global warming. Recently enacted legislation, Senate Bill 1150, aims to address some of these issues by mandating more frequent testing of wells that have been inactive for over 15 years. Although the law requires older wells to have a compliance plan to get a plugging extension, loopholes in the law could undermine efforts to speed the pace of plugging by active operators. Further regulatory tightening is necessary to ensure operators fulfill their responsibilities, protecting water and soil from contamination. In response to the new legislation, Commission Shift formed a working group of experts and impacted Texans to present recommendations to the Railroad Commission to strengthen the enforcement of SB 1150. The working group aims to ensure that the written rules keep public safety and the environment paramount, and that companies will not receive plugging extensions when well bore integrity, corrosion, or overpressurization increase the risk of groundwater contamination. Commission Shift's 2022 report, Eliminating Orphan Wells and Sites in Texas, outlines comprehensive solutions to address the orphaned well crisis. Financial assurance. Operators should demonstrate financial capability to plug wells prior to drilling or acquiring new ones. Increased bonding requirements. Financial assurance should cover the full modern cost of decommissioning. Current bonds are insufficient. With some wells bonded at under $250, even though plugging costs can exceed $40,000. Stricter transfer requirements. Regulations should prevent large companies from transferring wells to smaller entities that will be unable to decommission the wells. Quote, we've noticed an uptick in operators losing their licenses to operate in Texas because they aren't maintaining their aging wells, end quote, said Range. Quote, I'm fearful the number of orphaned wells will increase and assets mature and economic conditions make it more difficult to stay in business. Without significant policy reforms that compel companies to prepare for the end of a well's useful life, we will continue to see companies pocket the profits, walk away, and push costs of plugging their aging assets onto taxpayers, end quote.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.